Welcome to the house of the Lord again this morning. Seems like we just met. Right, really. Here we are again. Another Sunday. I pray ready, prepared for worship. Pray you've had a good week. I pray that the Lord has been with you this past week. And, he has been. I shouldn't say I pray that he has. He has been with us. I pray that you've felt the presence of the Lord with you this week. We come to worship, and as we worship, we come asking of God to fill us with his Holy Spirit, to strengthen us in spirit and spiritual might, that we might fight and resist the fiery darts and forces of the devil. We come together this morning, and we come to support and to uplift one another as well as we gather together. Psalm 117 says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." Then into Psalm 118, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Let Israel say, "His love endures forever." Let the house of Aaron say, "His love endures forever." Let those who fear the Lord say, "His love endures forever." And may the people of St. Catherine say, "May his love endure forever." Amen. Well, the band played for us as a prelude, the song we're about to sing. "Come, let us all unite to sing, God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring. God is love. Let every soul from sin awake. Each in his heart sweet music make and sing with us for Jesus' sake. God is love." So let's stand together.
Come, let us all unite to sing, God is love.
God is love? Do you know that God loves you? He certainly does. "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone will my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you." As we just spend some quiet moments with the Lord, may the song ring true to our heart. And if we long for God this morning, if we long for the peace of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then these moments are moments that we will allow God, as we do through the entire service, but these moments in particular will be moments when we will allow God, ask of God, bring the needs before God, our needs, the needs of God's people, for healing, for strength, for restoration, whatever people are going through these days. We know we have people away this morning. But it's good to see some people back again. And we know that over the last few weeks, sickness has been real and COVID has been around us. But it's good to see folks getting back on their feet and being back with us again today. So let's sing the first two verses of this song together.
I want you more than gold or silver, only you.
On the front page, we have Brian Page, Linda Cranford, Burl Gibbon, Ted Lott, Alice Main, Stephanie, a young woman, a young mom with cancer, and Dietlin Winter. And I'm sure that these are just a few of the many that we can bring before the Lord this morning. The wonderful thing about God is that He knows all. He sees all. He hears all. And we've just mentioned a few. But even as we sing the final verse of this song, if there's a person upon your heart or a circumstance upon your heart, you can speak that to the Lord this morning. You're my friend and you are my brother. Even though you are a king, I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. Let's sing the final verse together.
You're my
so good to know that, yes, you are a king, but you are our friend and you are our brother. You know us. You know our heart. You know our desires. You know our needs. And sometimes, Lord, those needs are great. And perhaps here this morning, there's a person here in this place whose needs are great. And God, I pray that this morning that they would know in their heart and in their living that you are God who is approachable. That you are a God that we can come to in simple faith. And we can ask. We can talk with you. We can pour out our soul to you. And Lord, you don't sit or stand in judgment. But you come with compassion, with love, and with forgiveness. And God, we commit ourselves to you this morning, the names of those I've mentioned, but Lord, every person who needs you in a special way. We all need you, Lord. And Father, I pray that today that we will claim your promises. That we will claim in you something that this world cannot give. A peace. In spite of hardship, a peace. In spite of difficulties, a peace. In spite of uncertainties, a peace. Amidst war and strife, there is peace in knowing you. And so, God, we commit ourselves to you this morning. We commit this service to you this morning. We commit the songs to you this morning. We commit your servant to you this morning. Your word, we commit it to you this morning. We offer ourselves to you. Lord, just move by your Spirit. Lord, take this cup, this vessel, and fill it up. Empty, Lord Jesus, all the stuff that's unlike you, and fill it up with only blessings that come from above. In Christ's name, amen and amen. We're going to look together to the book of Job, and this morning we're going to go down to verse 13 to verse 22, the end of the chapter. Job chapter 1, verse 13 to the end of the chapter, it says, "One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were gazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, 'The fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you.'" While he was still speaking, can you imagine? Can you imagine as I'm reading this, the events that's unfolding with Job right now? "While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, 'Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you.' At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised.' In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with any wrongdoing." And may God bless the reading of his word this morning.
And from there, we're moving into another song. And having just read the scripture, it is appropriate. "Lord, the light of your light is, love is shining." Exactly what Job did, even though he lost everything in the world. "Lord, the light of your light is shining in the midst of darkness. Jesus, the light of world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth. You now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me." There's an introduction to this song, so we will stand. And there's three verses, but follow Graham because he will bring us in after the introduction.
Jesus, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the dark, shine, Jesus.
And now the announcements coming up this week. Last week we announced that, or 2 weeks ago, we announced that the adult fellowship had to be postponed. So coming up this Saturday at 6:30, come out for an adult fellowship, some games and fun and snacks. It should be a good evening. We have a list on the wall just outside the office. You can sign up, but certainly come if you haven't signed. The MAC meeting is a week tomorrow at 6:30. That's Monday the 27th. Evergreen will be coming up in a couple of weeks, and it's called Spring Training. Come prepared with a baseball shirt. So if you got your favorite team shirt, you're asked to wear it that day. And then today, we have to say goodbye to one of our friends today because Gail is moving to Burlington to be nearer family. So join us in the gym for an opportunity to say farewell, God bless, and keep well. And now we will take up the tithes and offerings for today. Lord, thank you this morning as we've come and we've worshipped you in this manner so far. We ask that our hearts will be open to the gifts that we give back to you, that they will be used for your kingdom. We ask everything in your name. Amen.
Using the songbook, it's song 450 in our songbook, but if you're looking to the PowerPoint, as I will do, and Ed has graciously put some papers here for me to follow through each week, so thankful for that. But the song says, will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the storm tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor hold or firm remain? And then the chorus with the refrain, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Stand with me And we'll sing the first two verses of this song together. You're right. With you, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Job, Job chapter 1, verses 13 down through verse 22. We'll look at this morning. And the question we ask ourselves this morning is this: what do you do when your world crashes in on you? What have you done when the world crashed in on you? Well, we're not here to dwell on the past or how we responded to the past. We're here to ask ourselves the question, from this point forward, what do you do? Job praised the Lord. Job praised the Lord. Bad days come in all shapes and sizes. The world is full of pain and suffering. From the cradle to the grave, there are things that happen that bring tears to our eyes, and not so much tears of joy. But the point of this series is that our eyes can either obscure our vision of heaven, or they can be telescopes to help us see the present future realities of eternity. This world, as I said, is filled with sorrow, filled with suffering. But there is another world that we anticipate, a place, as Revelations would say, a place of no tears, of no pain, of no sorrow, of no death. Perhaps for some of you here this morning, this week has been a hard week. But, and I don't mean to lessen your circumstances, but perhaps there are few people who ever had a week like that of Job. Now, we read the scriptures and interpret them as read. It says that before one messenger had finished what he or she was saying, another one arrived to tell Job about something that had happened. So perhaps for Job, not necessarily a bad week, but a bad day. If you missed the earlier messages, let me review the story. Job was a righteous guy who was blessed with great wealth and a wonderful family. At a gathering in heaven, Satan alleged before God that the only reason Job served God was because he was so blessed by God. Satan charged that if Job lost it all, he would curse God to his face.
God knew Job's heart, but in order to demonstrate for Satan and all the host of angels, both good and bad, God gave Satan permission to test his theory. Satan went to work and Job suffered, but never lose sight of the conclusion of the story. Job endured. He endured all the pain. He endured all the hardship. He endured all the loss. He endured all the ridicule and never lost faith. And in the end, God restored him to more than he ever had in the first place. And if we look, which we will, at Job chapter 1, verses 13 to 22, we see that life has a way of crashing in without warning. And I think throughout the scriptures, perhaps Job is probably one of the most or best models we have on how to deal with pain and suffering. And from him, we learn three things that I want to share with you this morning. First, it's okay to express grief. Job expressed his agony in three ways. It says in verse 20 of Job chapter 1, he tore his robe and he shaved his head and he fell to the ground in worship. Tearing of clothes was a customary way of expressing immediate grief. And perhaps for you this morning, you've experienced so much inner pain and agony that you've just wanted to tear something. Now, it might be hit something. We've all been there, I'm sure. Tearing clothes was a metaphor for a broken heart. And though we see that Job praised the Lord, his heart was broken. There's a strain of pulling and the release when the clothes tear. And so for Job, the tearing of his clothes was an immediate expression of his grief. But then we see the shaving of his head. The shaving of the head was a long-term expression of his pain. And every time he felt his head, or every time he felt the cold chill of the air go over his head, he would be reminded of his grief. As his hair grew out, it was also a gradual reminder to him that life goes on and that the pain will lessen. Then we see that he fell down. He collapsed. But he didn't collapse into helplessness or hopelessness. He collapsed to the ground to worship. It says he fell to the ground to worship God. When you're hurting, it's okay to express your grief. Grief that is submerged and suppressed can lead to an unhealthy emotional problem. To express your grief, you need to understand what grief is. There's an equation for grief that can be expressed this way. Change plus loss equals grief. Change is never easy. And some life changes are minor. We hardly ever notice them. But some life changes are major. Job's life changed in one day when he experienced material loss and also personal loss. He lost all his wealth in a single day. Now, I checked the current prices of livestock according to today's prices. All right? Job's livestock today will be worth $50 million. His three daughters and seven sons gathered in a house when a killer storm blew in. The walls of the building collapsed, and they were all killed. On the heels of hearing that he lost his wealth, I think we could deal with the loss of our wealth. It would sting, particularly if it was valued at $50 million. But now, on the heels of that news, a messenger comes and says, "All your children are dead." His world came crashing in. Job didn't deny his grief. He didn't slap a fake smile on his face and say, "It's okay." He cried long and hard, but he never lost his faith in God. In chapter 16, Job admitted how deeply he was grieving. He said in Job 16, verses 15 and 16, "I have sewed sackcloth over my skin and buried my brow in the dust. My face is red with weeping. Deep shadows wring my eyes." So he grieved. He hurt. He deeply hurt, but yet he praised the Lord. Now, of course, death is not the only thing that can cause us grief. You may lose a job. You grieve. You may lose a loved one through divorce or death. You grieve. You may lose a friend. You grieve. You may lose your home through fire or flood. You grieve. You may lose your freedom. You grieve. And whatever the nature of your loss, it is important to express grief. You know, friends, it doesn't show a lack of grief to shed tears, or a lack of faith to shed tears. The Bible says Christians have sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Remember that. Even in the midst of our pain over loss, we have hope. Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He wept out of compassion for Mary and Martha at their brother's grave. Even though he planned to resurrect Lazarus from the grave, Jesus was heartbroken over that. He was heartbroken over the sins of the people of Israel when he looked out over Jerusalem. It's okay to grieve, but as we grieve, we live in hope. Secondly, we need to recognize that every blessing is a gift from God. Job acknowledged in verse 21 of Job chapter 1 that everything he had was a gift from God. He said, "The Lord gave. You came into this world naked. And though you may be buried in a $500 suit, we enter into the realms of heaven with nothing." You'll never see a U-Haul following a hearse. Right? Anybody ever see that? I haven't. But that's the reality. We can't take it with us. Some people think everything good in their life has come to them because they earned it. Some people think that society owes them a living or that they deserve to have all their needs met. But the Bible teaches clearly every good thing in life is a gift from God. The word of the Lord says every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows, in James 1:17. The story of Job took place almost 4,000 years ago. The very same God who had a personal relationship with Job is the God who wants to have a personal relationship with you and I this morning. God, through His Son Jesus, wants to give you the gift of life, eternal life, the rewards of heaven. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life has nothing to do with how long you live. It's a gift that changes the whole quality of your life. Sadly, many people are like a hog grumbling for acorns at the foot of the oak tree, refusing to glance up and to acknowledge the source of the food. We must look up. We must look up to the heavens. We must look up to the grace of God and realize this morning that He is the source of all good gifts. As the song says, "When upon life's billows you are tempted tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Thirdly, this morning, realize God can take it away without giving us a reason. Verse 21 said the Lord gives, Job said the Lord gives, but it also says, "And the Lord has taken away." In the subsequent chapters, Job is going to ask the Lord some tough questions. He's going to ask why in a variety of ways, but he will never receive the answer. Beginning in chapter 38, God starts speaking to Job, but he never gives Job a reason for why these things were happening. As far as we know, God never even let Job in on the conversation or the deal that he had with the devil. Instead, God spends four chapters from 38 on, reminding Job that his wisdom, God's, that his greatness, God's, and God's power is far beyond our ability to comprehend. What is the chorus that says, "I don't need to understand, I just need to hold His hand, the hand of God"? If we think we deserve an answer to the question, why is this happening, then our concept of God is too small. There will always be that sense of mystery and awe about Him, about God. In the book of Romans, Paul is writing about God's plan for the ages, and he breaks out in this observation that we see in Romans chapter 11. And Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord or been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? When we've lost something or someone precious, it is easy to forget that the Lord gives and that the Lord takes away. And finally this morning, praise God even when you don't feel. Have you ever heard the saying which says, cheer up, things could be worse? It's not too encouraging for the moment, is it? But I'm sure we've heard it all. I'm sure we heard it all. Well, Job cheered up, and sure enough, things got worse. And in our next lesson, we're going to see how Job's pain and suffering is going to intensify as his health is attacked. But again, instead of assessing blame, Job chose to express praise to God. In verse 21, may the name of the Lord be praised. What do you think Job felt like doing? Think about it. Everything that he owned was now gone. His family, his children are now dead. Put yourselves in Job's shoes. How would you react? There was Mrs. Job in chapter 2. What did she say to Job? Curse God and die. That's what she said. Curse God and die. That's what she felt like doing, and perhaps that's what Job felt like doing as well. I'm not sure. But you know, Job didn't live by feelings. He lived by faith. When you're hurting, you have to make a choice. When you experience loss, deep, deep loss, you have to make a choice. By faith, to praise God. It's easy to offer praise to God and worship God when everything is wonderful in your life. The Bible says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, in Hebrews 13:15. This verse, very briefly, says that there is no pause in praising God. It says that our praise is not conditional upon our circumstances or upon our situations. The verse of Hebrews says, continually praise the Lord. We take no time off in praising God. Have you ever read the side of a shaving cream can? It says, caution, contents under pressure. Do not incinerate or puncture. I was going to say when I was a kid, but that's not true. We used to camp with our kids, and I did it once or twice. I've thrown a can in the fire. What happens? The whole thing just explodes, boom, right? And if you're too close, you experience the pressure of that can exploding. Sometimes, you know, that label can describe some of us, what some of you may have had to go through or what some of you are going through. Perhaps you're living under intense pressure and stress, and you may be only a few degrees away from exploding. Perhaps you can't stand the heat and you don't know how to get out of the kitchen. And if you really want to know what a person is like on the inside, wait to see what happens when they are under pressure. Remember, our God is the expert of bringing good out of evil. We serve a God who is all-powerful and all-loving. He specializes in bringing order out of chaos and bringing good out of bad. Many of the folks who have lost something and have been interviewed by news stations have said, I've lost everything, my house, my car, my possessions, but praise the Lord, I still have my life and I still have my family. And this rises an issue of the book of Job we must all consider. If I lose everything that I hold dear, what's left to sustain me? If your sense of worth and your happiness is defined by your possessions, then prepare to be devastated because we could lose it all in a moment. But if your sense of worth and joy is based upon a living relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, there is nothing in this universe that will be able to separate you from the love of God. So when you're hurting, when you experience loss, follow Job's example. Follow his witness. Express your grief. Don't hold it inside. Acknowledge that every good gift in your life has come from God. Accept the fact that God has the right to take it away at any time. And in the midst of your pain, even when you don't feel like it, offer praise to God. When we suffer, try not to place blame, on others, to place blame on God. Job never charged that God was wrong. And whenever we go through a tough time, there's always the fear of the unknown. Job must have been afraid of what was ahead, considering what he just went through or was going through. But he put his trust firmly in God. Our universe is so large, scientists can't measure it. But the Bible says in Isaiah 40 and 12 that God measures the heavens with the span of his hand. So when your world crumbles in, the most important thing you can do is simply place yourself in the hands of God. Because God's hands are big enough to hold you. I'm in his hands. Whatever the future holds, I'm in his hands. May God bless his word. May God bless you this morning. Let's come before the Lord in an attitude of prayer as we reflect upon his word this morning. The song says, I want the faith of God, great mountains to remove, full confidence in Jesus' blood, that faith that works by love. The faith that will rejoice to saints by Jesus given, that turns the key of paradise and saves from earth to heaven. Let's sing the first three verses of this song together.
I want the faith of God. Thank you.
Our final song for this morning is "To God Be the Glory." Great things he hath done, so loved he the world, that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. So let's stand and praise the Lord in the singing of this song. Our benediction for this morning is the chorus, "O Man of Galilee, Stay With and Strengthen Me." I want to just give recognition as well, or acknowledge that we have a new bass player there in the back, Jamie Holmes, who is from Newfoundland himself, and he played in the Newfoundland Brass? What do you call it back in? Divisional Youth Band back in Newfoundland, and they moved up. His wife Karen is over here. And he is now part of the E-flat bass section. Are you the only E-flat bass section? So it's nice to have them with us as well. So, O Man of Galilee, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we know that on the calendar tomorrow, it's Family Day. So I trust and pray that we will take an opportunity to spend some time with family. I know for some of us, our families are far away. But Lord, just allow us to know, to give them a call, to whatever, just to remember them. Thank you for this family, O God, this family of St. Catharines. We pray, God, now that we will be a blessed people, a faithful people, a people who praise you at all times, at all places, no matter what the circumstances are. And so, Father, now I ask your blessing upon us as we leave and go to our different homes. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Let's sing this chorus together.